Let us pray. Oh, Father God, on this day, when we show our appreciation and acknowledge our earthly fathers, we start with you, the great Father of all, who has given us life, salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the gift of your Holy Spirit. And we ask you to be with us and to bless the preaching and the hearing of the word this day. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. A young man entered a movie theater. He was loaded down with drinks, popcorn, and candy. The lights had just dimmed. And you know what it is, don't you? When you enter from the hallway and you go into a theater and it's dark, it's really dark. And he began to walk up and down the aisle trying to see faces, trying to find the people with whom he had come. And after a couple of trips up and down, he began to feel uneasy. And he finally stopped and called out loudly, "Does anyone here recognize me? We all want to belong. Others are important to us. Some more, some less. We're not all exactly the same. But we do have a need to belong, to be in community with others. That's how God created us. It all started all the way back in Genesis when God created Adam and Eve. In Genesis 2:18, God is quoted as saying, "It is not good for a man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And it was also God's will that man be fruitful and multiply. And so it was that the community of a family was established by God on this earth. And this is very important in carrying out God's purposes. But there are other types of community also. The first thing that Jesus did when he began his ministry was to gather a small circle of friends. And this group would eventually become the leaders of his church. Yes, our Lord needed to train them and teach them. But they became a community. They were close to one another. In fact, at the Last Supper, Jesus told them all, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you." On another occasion, when Jesus was speaking to Peter, he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So here we see our Lord establishing another kind of family, a church family. And this family is also very important in carrying out God's purposes on this earth. How does one become a member of God's family? I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but it also fits in here. And not everyone was here a couple of weeks ago. We need a spiritual transformation to become a member of God's family. And Jesus explained it to Nicodemus in John 3:3 when he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And two verses later, he added, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Scriptures are clear. We need to have a spiritual rebirth to be a member of God's family. And how does God bring about this spiritual rebirth? Well, this is the passage I used. Be well for you to learn it. The Holy Scriptures clearly tell us in 1 Peter 1, verse 23, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. We are born again by the Word of God. And Lutherans believe that a person can be born again at their baptism, no matter what the age of the child, because God's Word is present. And God's power is not limited because of our age. But in our society, you're well aware of this. A person can also grow up not knowing the Word of God, not hearing the Word of God, and come to believe. And that's what happened in my family. Most of you do not know this, but my family was not Christian. And my mother heard the Word of God preached on the Lutheran Hour for over a year. And the time came when the Holy Spirit brought her to a belief in Jesus Christ. And she then followed the Lord's command to be baptized into Christ. And my sister and I were baptized also. You see, we are not supposed to have the one and neglect the other. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I'm pretty sure you all know that. But in the same line, he said, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Those two things are to go together. And for those wanting reassurance that they are part of God's family and have been saved, Jesus gives that to us in Mark 16:16. When he says, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. So I hope you feel very welcome in God's family this morning. But why is this possible? Well, we read Paul's explanation in the epistle in Galatians today. He writes, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So are you no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And another text from the book of Romans puts it this way. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into sin, but you have received a spirit of adoption when we cry, Abba, Father. It is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. When we speak of adoption today, we speak about taking a child that is not your own, not your own flesh and blood, but legally making them your own. But the biblical meaning of adoption, in one way, is closer to a ceremony the Romans and Greeks had, and Paul would have been very aware of this. It was called toga virilis, and it literally meant the placing of a son. See, a child in Roman and Greek times was not considered to be a full-fledged member of the family until this was done. He was still under the legal age of inheritance. And this is what they would do. They would take the toga off the back of the adult and place it on the back of the child. And they had a ceremony to pronounce him as a full-fledged member of the family with all of its rights and privileges. And there are similarities here with our adoption into the family of God. A couple weeks back, Pastor Mark spoke about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see, we are covered also with this righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when that happens, we become a child of God. We are fully adopted and accepted children. And even more, joint heirs with Christ. It says that also in Galatians 3:29 this morning. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. See, this goes all the way back. God's plan goes all the way back to Abraham and what he has been accomplishing in taking on members of his family. There is at least one important difference between our adoption and the ceremony by the Greeks and Romans, a very important difference. Their ceremony was only for the young men. Not so our adoption. Hopefully you noticed what it said in Galatians 3. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And surely we should rejoice when we think of our inheritance. Jesus says there is a place for us in heaven. We will experience life as we have never experienced it before. We are told that there will be no more sin, and there will be no more death, and life will be eternal. And there is more beyond that, according to the Holy Scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, it repeats what's said in Isaiah 64. It says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But family of God, don't forget one thing. Although we are blessed with an unbelievable inheritance to come, being members of a family also bring responsibility. And God is still gathering members of His family. We have a part in that. It's been said we are the hands and feet of Jesus at this time in history. And that terrible, terrible attack in Orlando recently should be a reality check, reminding us that we are in a sin-sick world. That there are many who hate other people and are bent on destroying them. And that the children of God are involved in a great war against the spiritual forces of evil. The greatest evil of all is pretty much unseen and ignored by the world. But it is for the souls of men and women. And I'd like to ask a favor of you today. I would like to ask you to read Ephesians 6 in your holy scriptures. You may do this during communion or later today or tonight before you go to sleep. Read it and go down the list of the items that the Lord has given us there, which are our spiritual armor, and ask yourself, do these things apply to me? Are they part of my armor? Because we need, in this day and age, to be armed with the things the Lord has given us and motivated by the love of Jesus Christ. Let us go about our Father's business. In Christ's name, amen.